Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, friends. Welcome. This is Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you are on live on the Prodigal Church Radio program, and we're just glad to have you here. We meant to start with an introduction song, but we'll go ahead and do an introductory before we do the song, and we'll come back to the song. But welcome to the Prodigal Church. You can call in 646-668-8468. You can call in live, 646-668-8468. Our message today is dead men walking, dead men walking. What does it mean that we were once dead, but now we're alive? But there are dead people still walking, people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. He died for us. He took our place. So we're going to be talking about dead men walking. Before we get into this morning's, this afternoon's message, we're going to have a quick song. And for those that like to, those that are listening live on the Blog Talk radio player on Facebook, you can call in at 646-668-8468. If you want prayer at the end of this this Bible teaching, please, you can call in, and I would be more than happy to pray for you, pray with you. Just call in, and you can hang out and listen on the line. And but we want to take your prayer requests, because your prayers are important. So with that being said, we're going to have a quick song, and then we're going to come back and get into this message, Dead Men Walking. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is calling us to surrender right now to him. He doesn't want us to surrender to the devil. We already had given our lives to him, but he wants us to surrender right now to him, Jesus. He's the one that's able to take your sins and your burdens. If you cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you, he will make you white as snow. He will clean you and wash you and make you white as snow. Today, friends, we're going to be looking at dead men walking. We were dead in our trespasses, but now we're alive. We're made. We're dead to sin, but we're alive to Christ, and we can boast in him, Jesus Christ, the one who paid our sin debt, because we couldn't pay it. The price was too high. It was too great. That's why Christ went to Calvary's cross for you and me, that we may have life and life more abundantly. 646-668-8468. Welcome Periscope. Welcome those that might be here from Friend Life or from Blog Talk Radio, those who might be watching later. Blessings to you. Again, the call-in number is 646-668-8468. We just welcome. Thank you for being here today. I know we've been. We want to get back to doing our podcasts because those are recorded and people can listen to those anytime. And it's a lot easier for them. You don't have to call in if you missed a live podcast or broadcast. All you have to do is just go to Minister Big Ken, the number 65, 24/7. You can listen to over 640 messages that I've done. And they can be edification for your soul. And please, please, if you're being blessed by this ministry, share it with other people. You can go to the podcast website, go to Minister Big Ken 65, and you can just log on to the page, and you can copy and paste those messages and send them out to your friends and families. You can be able to share them with anybody that you think might be a benefit. If you got some lost friends, lost family members, lost relatives, in-laws, outlaws, whoever, this word is beneficial for all who would take heed to it. And not because I'm saying it, not because I'm preaching or teaching it, but because God's word does not come back void. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's all I'm bringing you is the word of God. Every day, trying to just edify the body of Christ. So, and with that being said, if you're looking for a Bible-believing church in the Los Angeles area, please come join us. Check us out. Ladies, Tuesday nights, they have a 7:30 women's class. 7:30 women's class. Sister Lori Wilburn, Pastor Steve's wife, she's the pastor's wife. She teaches the women's class. Tuesday night, 7:30. Check out www.corechurchla, and get all the information. But the location is 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And you can go to the website, www.corechurchla.org, www.corechurchla.org. CoreChurchLA.org, and you can check out all of the ministries that they have that we have at Core Church. 7:30 Thursday nights, there's a Bible study. Then on Saturdays, we have the New Believers class or the Core Essentials class, different classes on apologetics, what it means to be a follower of Christ, what does it mean to how to give, how to live a holy life, how to live for Christ. All these classes are essential for your spiritual growth. We want to make sure that the babes become mature men and women, that they are growing in their faith and growing in the Word of God, and that's why we have the Core Essentials class. The pastor isn't supposed to spend 24/7 teaching us. We're supposed to get into the Word of God as we learn, as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we have to put in work to learn and to mature. Amen. So none of us, nobody just sits back and just chills all day. We all have a mission. We all have a gift, and God wants us to use that gift. So please come check us out on Thursday nights, 7:30, the women's class on Tuesday nights, and then worship is on, Core Central on Saturdays. And all this is located on the website, as well as Sunday morning worship, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30, three services to meet the times and needs. For those who might have to work on Sunday or just getting off on Sunday morning, we have a time for you to get into the Word so you can at least catch one service and be fed, your spiritual, get your soul fed. We all need that soul food, amen? That's the problem. A lot of people are eating the world at the world's table and not eating at God's table. We want to make sure that we encourage you to do that here. And at Core Church, we do the same thing. We want to elevate you and want to help you grow in the faith. So we're going to be talking about dead men walking. Also, hey, if you've been blessed by these sermons, by these messages, if they're ministering to you, if they're ministering at you and speaking to you, please prayerfully pray for this ministry that we can continue to do what God has called us to do. My computer went down a couple weeks ago, so trying to replace that. And it's hard when you don't have no money, but hey, God is still providing using phones, and we try to rig it up and do whatever we can to get the word out. But I want you guys to pray for me, as well as if you can, prayerfully consider donating to the GoFundMe account on my page. Any amount is not too small, and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, only if he's putting it on your heart. I don't want nobody to give to this ministry or give to me unless they prayed about it and the Lord told them to. I'll put it just like that. You're a believer and you're being blessed. I want you to give because you believe that the Lord is using me, and only if he's using me. Amen. So with that being said, let's get into this message. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is the call in, and you can just hang out. And if you want prayer at the end of this message, please, I'll be able to see you see those that's calling in. So if you have to leave, hey, take your phone, call in the number 646-668-8468, and then when we open up the line for you to talk or speak, if you have something to share, then there'll be opportunity for you to do so. Amen. All right. Dead men walking. In some of the death rows in the USA, when a prisoner is taken to be executed, the guard that leads the procession shouts out, "Dead man walking, dead man walking." It means get out of the way. Well, this man is on his way to his execution. He or she is on their way to their execution. Wow. It means to get out the way. This person is getting ready to go, that they would have to sit in a gas chamber or sit in an electric chair. Whatever the case may be, they're not coming back. They're not going to, after this day is over, or that day that they have to go to death row, that they are walking the mile, or remember the green mile? It's all about execution. And there's people are on death row for years. And then they get a call, or they know that, hey, your appeal for the third or fourth time has been overturned, or has been upheld, and therefore, we're going to have this death row. There's going to be a death. Your death is going to be moved forward. So it means that a person, it lets the guard lets the prisoners know that get out of the way. This man or woman is about to meet their final destination, their final call on earth, because they're getting ready to stand before the accusers, maybe those that they offended, maybe those that they killed or murdered, maybe family members of those people, they're going to stand before them. We just lost a couple police officers recently in the California area. Several have been killed and shot. Automatically, they seek the death penalty on those situations. And it means that, you know, it means to get out of the way. This man is on his way to an execution, and it means that you must have some respect and stand or give a last word of encouragement, for he is about or she is about to leave this life, this world. Death row. We're not talking about death row records. We're talking about death row, where you're going to stand and you're going to have to atone, or you're going to have to give your life because you took a life. You're going to have to give a life because you took a life. This is where an eye for an eye comes in. Because the laws of the land say that you're going to have to, you're guilty. You were proven guilty in a court of law. For a few minutes this afternoon, we're going to look at our life in Christ as the Apostle Paul and how he brings to bear what it means to be one who was on death row. We all were on death row at one time, the Christian I'm talking about. We were at one time on death row. One day, or there was a time before we came to the cross that each and every one of us was already enemies against God. We were lawbreakers. And because the wages of sin is death, God was going to require our life at some point. If we did not, here's the clause. If we did not receive his forgiveness, you imagine God saying, I will, that everybody is guilty. All men are transgressors and lawbreakers, but I have a remedy. I have a warden that's going to pardon you, but the only way you will be pardoned is that you must receive his forgiveness. You must receive his grace. You must receive the fact that he is the only one righteous and the only one that can save your soul. Now, we're going to still die one day. We're going to all leave this earth. But we can leave this earth knowing that Jesus Christ has given us new life. It doesn't matter what we've done down here. It doesn't matter if you might be literally on death row. It might be somebody right now that's literally on death row. But it doesn't mean that they cannot be forgiven. Even though the world might not forgive you, even though the people you offended might not forgive you, and, of course, the person that you might have murdered and killed, they can't forgive you. But there is a God in heaven that is able, that is willing, to forgive anyone, no matter how grave or how grievous your sin is or was. He can forgive you and wash you clean and make you white as snow. That man or that woman that's done that act of violence, of wickedness, can be forgiven if they just put their faith and trust in the living God. See, the world might not ever forgive you. You might do something and they never, ever. Somebody and they never want to forgive you, but we have a holy God in heaven that is able and willing to forgive the repentant sinner. And I know, notice what I said, the repentant sinner, one who is broken and comes with a contrite heart can receive the forgiveness. All they got to do is confess and cry out to God, Lord, I have sinned between you, I have sinned before heaven and earth. Lord, I have broken your commandments, and I need your forgiveness. Or it can't just be words without a conviction. It has to be words that are heartfelt, like David did in Psalms 51. Let's turn there real quick. Psalms 51, we see how David, and I read this yesterday in another study, but let's look here and see what David did, how he came before the Lord, true repentance. He was truly repentant, but he was truly forgiven or sincere about the God who is able to forgive and pardon our sins and trespasses. David says in Psalms 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and I know And my sin is ever before me. David is getting real. David is he's confessing. He's not just saying words that's just basically just speaking up, throwing up stuff because he thinks that's what God wants to hear. No, he is very sincere, and he's broken about his sin. He understands that he has not sinned just against man, but against a holy God. Some of us, when we confess, we basically, well, Lord, if there was something I did wrong, and we got this arrogance and pride. No. David didn't come like that. He came humble. He came with a broken and contrite heart, and we'll see that. He says in verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David says, If you kill me right now, I deserve it, Lord. You're just. You're holy. You have the right to take my life right now, Lord, but I'm asking you to forgive me. I know that I'm wicked. I've done a wicked thing here, but yet you are holy and righteous, and you're just in everything you do. Daniel 9 tells us that God is good and righteous in everything he does. If God kills people, it's because he knows the heart of his creation. So we got this passive God. We got this God that's, you know, always, oh, the God of the Old Testament, not the same God. I don't know what Bible they read. Because God was holy in the Old Testament, and he's still holy in the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, I believe it is, or chapter 2 says, God, I never change. So I don't know what Bible they're reading. Because he was a God of grace in the Old Testament, just like he's a God of grace in the New Testament. He's the same yesterday, but today and forever. David goes on to say in verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned and done what was evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and in blameless in your judgment. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Each and every one of us came into this world sinners. Every baby that comes into the world is a sinner. That doesn't sound something that you're used to hearing, maybe. Because we think everybody is, you know, we think little babies are innocent too. Just let them live for a little bit long. They'll let you know how selfish they are because they're going to want your attention. David says, and we can say this too. We can all say this. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I don't care. Your little babies are little babies. They're precious. God gave them to us. But they're still little sinners. And they're going to eventually grow up to be bigger sinners. They're going to grow up to be more sinful. And eventually, they're going to start to show you how sinful they are. Did you take that little cookie, Johnny? No. And sitting there munching on it, trying to swallow it down, chase it with some milk. They learn how to lie early. They learn how to lie and be conniving and deceitful. You tell them, oh, you can't have cookies until you eat your dinner. 2-3 years old, they sneaking in there getting the cookies. You can't have that candy until you eat your dinner, your lunch. Next thing you know, they popping candy in their mouth, hiding it behind their back, stuffing it in their pocket. I told this story before, and I'll tell it again. I remember when my daughter, who's 17 now, I remember when she was a little baby, and I used to just watch her, you know, she had a problem with playing with these little light fixtures. And she would, you know, not light fixtures, the sockets, you know. She would grab stuff and try to put it in the hole. She was fascinated by the sockets, when you plug electricity in there. I guess she was trying to get some power, huh? She would basically grab, you know, try to always be touching it, trying to put her finger in there. When she started crawling, you know, and she eventually, you know, and I'd pop her little hands. After 2 or 3 times, you pop her little hands, and she realized that it wasn't even a hard pop. But she knew she was doing something wrong. I remember one day I watched her, put her down, went in the kitchen, and she crawled, and she looked back, and she crawled and looked back. Next thing you know, she went right back over there to that light socket, and what did she do? Started playing with it. When she saw me, the conviction fell on her, and immediately she started crying because she knew. Yeah, she knew she was caught. That's what we do. That's what we do. We do things and then we look back to see if God is looking. We look and we want to make sure nobody's looking, but we looking to see if God is looking. And then we go to try to do our sin, knowing that God is not pleased with it, knowing that he's not going to give us favor in it. And just like David said, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. 646-668-8468. In verse 6, he says, behold, you delight in truth, the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Notice what David says. He wants to be washed. He wants to be washed with hyssop and made clean. He tells us the Old Testament priest used hyssop, a leafy plant, to sprinkle blood or water on a person being ceremonially clean from defilement such as leprosy or touching a dead body, Leviticus 14:6, Numbers 19:16 through 19. Here, hyssop is a figure for David's longing for spiritual cleansing from his moral defilement. In forgiveness, God washes away sin, Psalms 103, verse 12, and Isaiah 1:16, Micah 7:19. We see here that this was to ceremonially clean the priest, but this was bigger than that, because Jesus would one day come and wash us all clean and make us righteous. No longer will we be a dead man walking. See, under the Levitical priesthood, it was unnatural. You couldn't touch a dead body. You would have to be consecrated. You'd have to be consecrated. You couldn't touch a dead body under the Old Testament law. Thank God we don't have these laws in place now trying to hold us guilty. Man, you see how hard it would have been to keep it? You could have got killed without any mercy. You could have got killed. But God in his mercy, while we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. He went to the cross for us. Notice here, though, he tells us in verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones of the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Here David is appealing, Lord, don't look at my sin, because I already know I deserve your wrath. I deserve your judgment, but don't look at my sin, Lord. If you would please, Lord, hide your face from my sins. Hide your face from my sins. We got a holy God here who's looking at an unclean vessel. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David is asking for, now, you can change my heart, Lord. You can make me clean. You can make me whole. You can make me righteous. I don't need to go to get a bath. I don't need to go to get baptized. I need you to cleanse me from the inside out. I need you to make me a new creation. He's basically asking, this reference to the special Holy Spirit anointing on theocratic meditators. Remember, under the Old Testament, you didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. The Holy Spirit would come upon you. David received the Holy Spirit upon him when he first became king, appealing to the Lord because of his sin, because of the fact that he got caught up, slipping and tripping, looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at. He's telling him, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Everybody in the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Spirit. It was only a handful of people that would have the Holy Spirit upon them, a special anointing. There would be a handful of people that would have the Holy Spirit upon them. Aren't you glad that we, not living in the Old Testament, that we have Spirit living in us day in and day out? He doesn't leave us, friends. He doesn't come for a couple of days and then check out. Now, you can grieve and quench him, and the Holy Spirit might seem like he left you. He hasn't left. God said he would never leave the believer, the true believer. He would never leave him or forsake him. The world might depart from you. Your pastor might depart from you. But God, if you're a true believer, and only if you're a true believer, if you are a true spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christian, you don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit ever departing from you. Marcos, blessings, brother. We're talking about dead men walking. Dead men walking. You can call in 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You can call in and listen in, and we'll have a prayer. If you have a request for prayer at the end of this message, we'll be more than happy to pray for you and lift you up before the Lord. If you want to share your heart, you'll have an opportunity to do that too. Right now we're in Psalms, okay, praise the Lord. Well, you can put your requests up here. Just at the end of the show, let me know, and I'll lift you up in prayer. Amen. You stick around. Again, we see here that the Lord is telling us, if you got your Bible, go to Psalms 51 and verse 10. He's telling us, he's telling David, David is telling the Lord, or requiring of the Lord, create in me a clean heart. In verse 11, he says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. See, in the Old Testament, God would take back the Holy Spirit. He took the anointing off of Saul because Saul had violated God's commandment. God told him to do a specific thing. Go and kill all the Amalekites. Destroy them. Man, woman, and babies, and animals, including the king. I want you to do this. Why did God tell him to do that? Because he knew the heart of the Amalekites, and he knew that they were trying to creep in and intermingle with Israel. God didn't want his people defiled. He didn't want them to be tainted by corruptible or pagan nations that were allowing their children or sacrificing, having human sacrifice. These were wicked people. God, anytime God told Israel to wipe out a nation, it's because these folks was idolaters. God hated idolatry, still does. So if God said wipe out everything and everyone, it's because they were defiled and they would come in and creep in. And we see that all through the history of Israel. King Ahab, I believe, he married, what did he do? He married Jezebel. What did she do? She had him out there worshiping all these pagan gods. She was an Egyptian king, queen. She came from a pagan nation. God never authorized that marriage. And what happened? This man defiled God. He was the king over Israel who became a wicked king. He was worshiping Baal. God is holy. God is holy. And if he says he don't want us being unequally yoked, he tells us that because he knows the heart of people who are not believers, who are not born again, the Holy Spirit. David is told, David says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit. This is a reference to the special Holy Spirit anointing on a theocratic nation. In verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Here we see God is generous, willing, and eager to uphold believers. This mention of spirit possibly refers to the Holy Spirit. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. When he repented, God forgave him. When you and I repent, God will forgive us. Now, you can't keep on doing what you want to do every day, night in, night out, day in, day out, and claim that you're a believer. You're fooling yourself. But if you're a true, sincere believer, and we make mistakes, we slip, trip, we fall, but we get back up. And if you're a true believer, you don't look for another opportunity to sin. You're looking for another opportunity to win against sin. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here, going back to our lesson, dead men walking, he says again, we need to look at the fact that, he says, we need to look at Christ. Our life in Christ, as the Apostle Paul understood it. God uses a picture to help us grasp spiritual realities so that we can understand his ways. Only way you're going to understand his ways, you must know the word of God. You must have a knowledge, an understanding that the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Psalms 119. The word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. If we don't believe that, if we don't walk in it, if we don't take it in our heart and meditate on that and that become a creed for our lifestyle, we will be deceived and played. Because if the word is not the standard, the world will be. The flesh, the devil, and the world will lead you away from God. And if it leads you away from God back out there to where you don't seem to want to come back, maybe you was never his. Probably you was never his. You just had a form of godliness, but you're denying the power. You're denying the power. So we see here in Luke 9:23. Let's turn there. Jesus tells us that we need to pick up our cross. I can see right now I might be on this for a couple of days. That's okay. Luke 9:23. We ain't in no rush to get through the word of God. The word of God is like a T-bone steak. It's like lobster. You know, I look at the word of God. It's a meal that you want to savor. You know, I'm a big fan out here on the West Coast. For those who don't know, I'm a big fan of the Sizzler. Not that big of a. It's not a fancy steakhouse. Not a fancy place at all. They got several of them. They don't have as many as they used to, but they have several of them. I'm a big fan of Sizzlers. We used to have them back in Texas, but I've been eating a Sizzler, man, since I was probably, loving Sizzler, truly loving it, since I was probably in the seventh grade, sixth grade. And I'm a big fan of steak and Malibu chicken. But I can have the double Malibu and a baked potato, and I'm good. And I can eat that every day of the week, to tell you the truth. I really can. And you know what? When I do go, when I have the opportunity, because I don't have my money is limited now, but when I go to have Sizzler, I already know what I'm going. I mean, I like lobster too. I love lobster. But I'm telling you, I will choose Malibu chicken over the lobster any day. And I will have a double Malibu if I can. So, and when I'm eating it, when I'm eating my Malibu, because I love the sauce and I love all of the trimmings that go with it. So when I'm eating my Malibu, I'm savoring every bite. I'm taking it in because I don't know when I'm going to come back and eat again. I don't know when I'm going to get another Malibu chicken and a baked potato. I can have a baked potato anytime, but it's something about having the baked potato and the Malibu chicken and having all the dressings that come with it. And it's not a very expensive meal, but for somebody that don't have no job right now and don't have no, you know, can't work, waiting on disability, you know, I have to get in where I fit in. And I think about the Bible is just that much. It's when you start to eat from it, when you really fall in love with the word of God, it's like a meal. You know, you can be meditating, you can be reading something, and all of a sudden, it's just like, man, that's some good stuff right there. And you savor in every word. That's how we need to look at the word of God. That's how dead men walking or dead men can become alive when they realize that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Able to cut. It's alive. Word ain't dead. This word will resurrect dead souls. It's spiritual. It's miraculous. It can change the life of people. All you got to do is believe. And I mean, you must have a true faith, a genuine separation from this world and the flesh and the devil. You must say, I denounce this world. I denounce the flesh and I denounce the devil. And I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. 646-668-8468. Here we see, again, we're told here, in Luke 9:23, let's look at 9:23. Luke 9:23. We're not going to get very far today, but that's okay. Okay. I like it when the Holy Spirit is in control of the lesson and not me. Amen. I love it. Because when he's in control, I don't do nothing but, yes, Lord. Ain't no rush. Ain't no rush to get through it. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy the delicacies of God's table, sitting at God's table. Take up your crosses, is what he said in 9:23. He says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, if we really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we must deny ourselves. You can't follow him and you're trying to chase after the world. You can't follow him or be a follower of him and you're trying to chase or run with the devil. You can't be a follower of him and you're trying to chase after your flesh or feed your flesh. You can't do it. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily, daily, daily. It has to be a daily action. Well, Lord, I'll follow you on Sundays, but Monday is my day. Well, Lord, I'll follow you on Monday, but Tuesday is my day. Well, you're trying to negotiate with the Almighty? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me. He's saying here, real clearly, to come after him,
in verse 23. The Son of Man, he says, the cross. In Matthew 10:38, self-denial was a common thread in Christ's teaching to his disciples. Luke 14:26-27, Matthew 10:38, and Matthew 16:24. Mark 8:34, John 12:24-26. The kind of self-denial he sought was not a reclusive asceticism, but a willingness to obey what? His commandments, serve one another, and suffer, perhaps even die for his sake. See, the true believer understands that his life is not his own. Her life is not her own anymore, and their life is hidden in Christ. So whatever God's will is, that's what we want. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's what a dead man walking, one who has been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to the old me. I'm dead to the life that I used to live. Everything that was taking me away from Jesus, I'm dead to that. That's why it's important that I stay connected to the true vine, according to John 15. I must stay connected. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. He must increase in me. Selfishness. Selflessness. Selfless. I don't want to get my will. Because see, if God truly gives me my will, I'm going to fall away. If I truly start to walk apart from God, if I start to move to the left or the right and he is not leading me there, guess what? I'm going to end up falling, tripping, slipping, busting my lip, and then I'm going to bust my face eventually. But see, this is what we do. We try to get in our own way. We are our own worst enemy. I'll never forget what Dr. McGee said. The Christian is his own worst enemy. We want to blame the devil for everything, but it's really us first, the flesh. We want to feed, it wants to be fed, and we're listening to it instead of listening to the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us and denying ourselves and picking up our cross. Look, our flesh craves sex. Does that mean I have to go out and feed it if I'm not married? No. I make a conscious decision of what way I'm going to do. Either I'm going to do his will and walk by his word and his commandments, or I'm going to feed my flesh, and then I'm going to blame others for my consequences. I'm going to blame, oh, Lord, why did I do, Lord, what? You know, and then we start having a pity party for ourselves. God says, oh, stop that foolishness. You made a conscious choice. You chose to go and feed your flesh instead of getting into the Word. And since you didn't pick up your cross and follow me, now you're going to have to deal with some consequences. It don't mean you're not saved. But see, that one sin could cause you some serious consequences. You could catch a disease. You can get a woman pregnant. If you're a woman, you could get pregnant. You might have been celibate for 10 years, and all of a sudden your flesh started screaming at you, and instead of you going and getting to the Word and get on your face before God and pray and thank him and just give up and say, Lord, take this affliction off of me, instead of trusting God enough to say, Lord, please, I'm struggling right now. I'm weak right now, Lord. I need you to comfort me. I need you to buffet my flesh. Instead of doing that, you decided you was going to go out there and give yourself away to the devil for a moment. You wanted to give yourself away to some buster and not Boaz. Or for the men, to a Jezebel. See, because it ain't hard to find sin, friend. Sin is around. For the Christian, sin is around every corner. Every crack and crevice. It's always there lurking. It's jumping out at us trying to say, come. And for men, we have to be very careful because we are very sexual beings. We want that feeling. We lust driven. That's why we have to crucify our flesh. We have to buffet our flesh. Paul said that he had to beat his body into subjection. He didn't fight. When he fought, he said, I don't fight as one trying to, you know, I'm swinging it. He's basically swinging at the air. But he really says, hey, I have to punch myself. I have to beat myself down. We have to talk to ourselves sometimes, too. We have to look in the mirror and say, shut up, flesh. In the name of Jesus. You got to rebuke your flesh. We always want to talk about devil get behind me. How about flesh get behind me? But sometimes Satan ain't even worried about you, especially if you're out there sinning anyway. Especially if you're out there slipping and sliding, playing a Christian, and you kind of being a part-time. So we see here that Jesus tells us very clearly, verses 9:23 to 26. Let's look at this. I said we're not going to get too far much more, maybe another 15 minutes. 6:46, 6:68, 8:46, 8. He tells us in verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, he said, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Again, Christ is going back to how sincere, how committed are you to my work and my fellowship and my in a relationship with me. He says, whoever loses his life for my sake, aside from the command, follow me. This saying is repeated more times in the Gospels than any other saying of Christ. In Luke 17:33, Matthew 10:39, Matthew 16:25, Mark 8:35, John 12:25, and also in Luke 14:11. God says, whoever loses his life. So if he says this in all these different passages through Scripture, obviously it's important for us to take it serious that we need to be willing to lose our life, that we will gain life. Dead men walking. Dead men walking. Our Lord has to crucify us so that we can live. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reflection of what we have to endure. We must die to ourselves, but we won't take on a physical death yet. One day, this body is going to go back to the dust, and our soul is going to go to be with him. This body is one day going to go back to the dust. It's going to go back into the dirt. But one day we're going to be given, the believer is going to be given a new body, prepared for heaven, prepared for a holy kingdom. We see here, it's repeated, to follow me. Jesus wants us to follow him. Follow him. He says, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Have you lost your life? Have you lost your life, the old man? Have you been crucified with Christ according to Galatians 2:20? Have you been sanctified, made a new creation? Old things have passed away, and behold, the new has come. Again, we see in verse 25, he says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed, verse 26, of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Why? You see that? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the angels. If you're ashamed of God, if you're not willing to proclaim his name, if you're not willing to stand up for him in righteousness, holiness, he's going to be ashamed of you. Notice what he says here. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? In other words, you think your stuff makes you better than somebody? You think your stuff, your things that you own, your possessions is going to make you right with God or going to make you somebody down here on earth? You might get credibility from people, but only thing matter is, What is it going to profit when you, if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? He says in verse 26, whoever is ashamed of me, unbelievers, Matthew 10:33, Romans 9:33, 10:11, 2 Timothy 2:12, whoever is ashamed of me. Are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed of him? Are you worried about what people think about you because you are on fire for the Lord?
I had a great opportunity. This morning was awesome. I'm starting to do physical therapy because I got a hairline tear in my shoulder and got some arthritis from the golf and all these different things from, you know, this body is just decaying. It's tearing down. It's one day going to go back to the dust, and one day my soul is going to go to be with him. But until then, hey, praise God that I served in the military for 15 years, and I got the benefits of going to the VA to be seen and for them to look at me. And I'm seeing a physical therapist now, praise the Lord, and hopefully they won't have to cut, and that'll get me back on track. But notice here. Let's look at a few of these scriptures in closing. It's 121 now. Yeah, and about 20 minutes, we'll go ahead and wrap it up, and hopefully we'll get a phone call for some. If anybody needs prayer, you can go ahead and start calling in 646-668-8468. And just the FYI, for those who might be watching this on Periscope later, you can't call in unless I'm live, but you can log in, or you can go and listen to this message on my podcast at Minister Big Ken 65, Minister BIGKEN, the number 65, and you can just it'll take you to the Prodigal Church Hour website. Just put that in your search engine, Minister BIGKEN, the number 65. Let's look at these scriptures. It's important that we understand whoever is ashamed of me, he says, whoever is ashamed of me. Let's look at Matthew 10:33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. For clarity, we'll go back here to verse 26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Verse 27, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy what? Both body and soul in hell. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? In other words, God says, I'm in charge of nature. Not one bird, not one ant, not one gnat will be killed unless I allow them to die. Not one. But even if the hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You're ashamed of him, friends? He's going to be ashamed of you. Are you willing? Are you giving up on God? Are you shrinking and hiding the moment that, oh, I don't want them to know I'm a Christian. I don't want them to know. They're going to kill me. See, when you're so connected to the true vine, when you're so connected in a relationship and in fellowship with God, you don't fear what man can do to you. You're not concerned about what they say about you. Romans 9:33. Turn there quickly. Romans 9:33. Hallelujah. See, friends, you got to be dead men walking. Dead men walking. I'm a big fan of the walking dead. And see, we have been, before the cross, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. After the cross, we are dead to sin. We're dead to sin and alive in Christ because he resurrected us. He took the dead man and breathed life into him, and he put his spirit into us. Romans 9:33 tells us this. He says, verse 30 for context, Israel's unbelief. He says, what should we say then? That the Gentiles did not pursue righteousness and have obtained it, that it is a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. In other words, Paul goes back to now remind the Jew or remind them of the fact that
The Jew was trying to pursue righteousness in his own righteousness by works. They were trying to take the law, and they were trying to basically take the law and walk in it and live up to the code or the standards. That's why he says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not what? Pursue after righteousness. The Gentiles was every nation that was not a Jew or not under Israel, under the covenant and the creed of Israel. Did not practice the sacrificial system. They didn't practice the covenants. They didn't keep all of the commandments and precepts. They weren't under the Judaism and the 613 Mosaic laws. Gentiles didn't know nothing about it. They heard about this God of Israel, but they didn't know him. But we see here, he says, what should we say? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is a righteousness that is by faith? Yes. By faith, not by works. See, we come to faith, we come to saving faith, and then the works begin to happen, the works of righteousness, because God makes us a new creation where old things are passed away. Without saving faith, there won't be a walk of faith. I like that. It just came to me. Without saving faith, there won't be a walk of faith. You won't want to walk out or work out your salvation with fear and trembling until you know that you've been saved. Once you've been saved, you are resurrected. God imputes and empowers you with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why in Romans 1, he tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the power? The word of God gives you boldness. It gives you life. It gives you a new in Christ. You want to go and tell others about Jesus. You don't have to be told to do this. You want to share your faith. Because your faith is genuine, it's real, it's authentic. Hallelujah. You're no longer a dead man for sure when you can step up and be bold as a lion. But see here, he says in verse 9:33, he says in verse 30:31, he says, go back here. Sorry, I got to use a little magnifier. He says, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works, still trying to keep the law through the sacrificial system. But God always wanted us to look. He always was looking at our motivation behind what we did or what Israel did. We have to understand, God set up Judaism. He set up the Jewish religion. But he also wanted to know the motives why they were doing it. Were they just doing this to get their sins forgiven, or did they really love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? That was where it all came down to. If the heart wasn't lined up with the will to do what was right, then your works or the sacrifices, giving up these animal sacrifices, was just like you trying to go into a hospital. Or basically you walking into a hospital claiming you're a doctor, but you don't know how to the first thing about medicine. You're not committed to the work of medicine. But you want to go in there and perpetrate and put on a fraud. They were wearing a mask of religion. And God was always judging the heart. He always looked at the heart. When they came to give their sacrifices on the Sabbath, God was looking at the motive of the heart. They coming in here saying, holy, holy, holy. They got all the praise. They got all the worship. Everything coming off their lips. They doing all this religious talk, but there is no religious walk. Sunday through Friday, there's no worship. You think one day a week was going to be sufficient for God? That's why I got a problem with these Seventh-day Adventists who try to put you under this legalism. Oh, you're not worshiping on the Sabbath. You're not committed. What do you do with the rest of the 6 days of the month, of the week? I got a problem with that. We all should have a problem with that. If you're trying to make one day holy over all the rest of them, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then you're basically saying that God is a God of works. I need to work for this day. I need to be obedient just this day. What do I do with the rest of the week? There's no holy day anymore. Christ is the holy Savior. He's the one who died in our place. He died for our sins, and he took our sins to the cross. And he gave us a day of worship, but every day is a day of worship for the believer. Every day. Every day I come here, I pray, we pray, we give up the word, we talk about Christ, and we lift up. And we're praying for people to come out of darkness into the light, dead men walking. A lot of people on death row trying to work it, trying to work for it instead of working it out. See, when faith is real in your life, you don't have to work for it. You just got to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. We ain't getting very far at all, my brothers and sisters. That's okay, though. We're going to go ahead and close it up. What we got here? We got 58 minutes. We'll go ahead and close this up in about 10 minutes. I want us to just glean from this a little bit more, though. Again, we see here in verse, I want us to go back a little commentary on Romans 9:33. He says, see Isaiah 8:14 and 28-16, long before his coming, long before the Messiah's coming, the Old Testament prophets had predicted that Israel would reject the Messiah, illustrating again that that her unbelief is perfectly consistent with the Scripture. Remember, he came to his own received him not. He came to the house to Israel first. He came to the Jew first, but to Israel, the majority of the Jews did not receive him. And still to this day, they're denying that the Messiah ever came. But they will believe. They will believe. Those Jews that are here during the tribulation period, they will come to know him. They will believe and turn from their sins and trust in the Messiah. It says, why? Because they did not pursue in faith, pursue it by faith, verse 32 of Romans chapter 9, verse 32 tells us why. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it was based on works, they have stumbled over the stumbling block. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Why did God do that? Because God wanted to come up. He had a way of dealing with religion and relational is two different things. And God, the Son, God knew that Israel had an issue with, it was trying to keep these works. It was still trying to work it out. But unbelief will always keep you out of the kingdom of God. And you can say you believe in your mind. You can say that with your mind and your heart. You can say that just with your lips. A lot of people have demon faith. They acknowledge there is a God. They acknowledge that Jesus Christ came down here and he rose again on the third day. They believe that in their intellect. But it hasn't truly set and resonated in the heart. And we know this because their lifestyle is so far away from him. Their heart is so truly far away from him. Even the demons believe there's a God. They know. They tremble. They got more sense than we do. So we see here that Jesus tells us that, you know, the cross beam, look at the example that he gives us of what Roman history would teach us here. When a Roman official sends a man to death, he would shout, put the cross on the man. The cross beam was strapped to his arms, and the victim had to carry it to the site of the crucifixion. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me every day, he is telling us to consider ourselves dead men walking. Dead men walking. The question is, friends, have you taken up your cross? Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Messiah, as your Lord and Savior? And have you become a dead man walking? Do you know Jesus, power of his resurrection? The sins of death each day is accepted, and we are dead men. I love the fact that God wants us to be crucified. He wants us to crucify the flesh daily. He wants to crucify our minds, consecrate them, get all that junk out of it. What are you feeding yourself with? What are you feeding upon? Are you watching a bunch of nonsensical television? Things that will not edify and build you up? How much of God do you give to him? How much of yourself, I should say, do we give to the Lord Jesus Christ daily in word, in prayer? I got work to do. But are we working for, working out our salvation and truly trusting him? Or we just, well, I got my fire insurance ticket stamped last week. I went down the aisle. I said a prayer. The pastor gave me a pat on the back. He told me how you was that I was a saint and no longer ain't. And so I just got, hey, I've been washed. I'm going to get baptized, and I'm good to go. No. They lying. If they don't tell you the whole truth, if they don't tell you that you must pick up your cross daily, if you're not willing to pick up your cross according to like Luke 9:23-26, if you are not willing to follow him daily, you are not his disciple. Some folks have proclaimed Christ 20 years ago and never picked up their cross. That's because they are still dead in their trespasses and sin. They name the name of Christ, but they don't want to walk with him. They don't want to suffer for him. They don't want to die. This is a question we have to ask and answer. Are we following Christ? Are we picking up our cross daily? 646-668-8468, if you want to call in, want prayer, yeah, you want to discuss this, I'll leave about 5 minutes for those who might want to call in. If not, we'll close it up and we'll have a part two on this. Say the same if the Lord says the same tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us a mission. You've given us a commandment, Lord, that we need to pick up our cross daily, Lord. We also, Lord, we need to deny ourselves first and foremost. Anything that's not of you, Lord God, we have to make a conscious decision that, no, Lord, I will not follow that or it or her or him or them. Follow you. Every day, Lord, is a day of grace, Lord, that you give us, Lord. But some people, even as we're speaking right now, some people are not going to make it in. Some people will never, ever deny themselves and pick up their cross. I pray, Lord, there's nobody here or nobody that listens to this message would be one of those stony heart Christians that, or one of those that, like the Jews, that the stumbling block was laid and they tripped over it. Lord, it's time for man to repent and come out of darkness and be made alive, that they're no longer dead in their trespasses, but they're dead against the power of sin, but alive to the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that this message was a sweet-smelling aroma in your nostrils. We pray that the word of God would touch each and every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. You were listening to this, and you know you were private, and you didn't hear it all. I pray that this message has ministered to you. And most importantly, I pray that we all would take heed from it and really meditate on the fact that God is calling us to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to run this race that has been set before us. We don't know when the last day on earth is going to be. We don't know when death row is going to call our name. But we can know one thing, friends, no matter if we die for him down here or he just takes us home, we can know without a doubt that our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and we've been forgiven and made new creations, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen. Amen. 646-668-8468. We'll leave the give another 2-3 minutes if anybody wants to call in, if anybody has a prayer request. If you do have a prayer request and maybe you don't want to share it live, or you would like to talk to me off the air, if you don't have a Bible teaching church and you're looking for one and you don't know what to look for in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, please reach out to me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick, instant messenger there. You can also follow my live streams on Facebook Live. I have many live streams I do throughout the day, and as well as on Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can also hit me up at Twitter, dkendricksr65 on Twitter. Also on Gmail at dkendricksr@gmail.com. Hey, we're just here to serve the body of Christ. We're here to lift up the name that's above all names on this podcast.
And I want you guys, if you're being blessed, if the word is ministering to you, if it's encouraging you, if it's exhorting you and admonishing you, even in a if you're being rebuked and it's challenging you to get right with God, that's all I care about is souls, getting right with God. I have to get, Lord wants me to get right. People challenge me to get right, so we have to all get right with God. And that's what we're here to do, is to just lift up the name of Jesus. I don't have no malice or no hatred towards anybody, but I will challenge you as the word of God speaks to us how we are to live in godliness and righteousness. So with that being said, hey, if you're being blessed by this, please consider donating to my GoFund account, any amount, nothing is too small. Also, we need your prayers. Pray that God will keep us going strong and going on in the word of God, that we can be an encouragement and a vessel of light in a dark world. We got elections coming up, so many different things happening around our world, and no matter who's going to be in the White House, my motto is, Jesus Christ is in my house. He's living in me, and that's all that matters. I don't care who's going to be the president more than I care how we're going to respond and how we're going to make a difference in the nation. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. I'm going to still preach Christ and then crucify, unless they just shut the airwaves down. That's all I'm going to do, is keep on preaching Christ and then crucify. Politicians need the Lord too. Hillary and Trump need Jesus. Until they both come to a saving faith, there's still two souls that's lost. I don't know anybody's heart, but I can tell you one thing. God says we will know them. Jesus said himself, we would know them by their fruit that they bear. I don't see much fruit on either one of those trees. But I do see two souls that need the Lord. If they don't have the Lord, they're dead. They're going to die in their trespasses and sin. But we want to make sure that here at the Prodigal Church Hour, that we continue to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ, and we continue to just elevate him. I want him to get all the glory. And the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Until we meet again, friends, follow my stream on Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick, as well as my live stream on Facebook Live at Daryl Kendrick. And you can catch devotions and teachings throughout the day, every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Everybody. We'll see you later. In Jesus' name. Bless you.